quickly open your Bible to the book of Romans chapter 1. What I want to share with us briefly today is nothing new. Of course, we don't say anything that's new, really. We just keep admonishing ourselves and keep encouraging one another with the word of God. You know, if you watch the news, as well as what's happening in the Western world, United States, the reason why Obama lost my support is this issue of, well, that's what I'm talking about. If you're watching the news, you see them every time talking about gay rights, you know, gay left. Well, actually, they meant gay rights. Now they're talking about the right to marry. Initially, it was the right just to be a homosexual. They started talking about the right to marry, and then the right to adopt children. And certain countries have granted some of those rights. And except God specifically speaks to you to go and live in such places, I'll advise you don't. My reason is because there are things that are signs of impending judgment. And that's a matter of fact. All right? Now, so you see some of those things. In fact, the other day in France, the riots have not really ended. They are still quarreling over it. When Franco Hollande decided to sign into law the rights of homosexuals to marry and therefore be able to adopt children, they are still quarreling over that till now. Now, those kind of things, they set me thinking. When I was a child, in my early days in secondary school, I thought Sodom and Gomorrah was history. Do you understand? Yes, I thought so. I did not know that in my lifetime, in just one generation, things that were called correctly by the Bible and, of course, by the people living at that time, abominations, are now becoming front line. And what they did, this is a trick, all right? It's a trick. I'm not going to talk about that now. But they subtly put it in your face every day. You see so much, it does not look abnormal anymore, all right? So that if you go to those countries and you take a poll, all right, question most people, you find that as much as half, if not more, of people who live in those countries, or more than half, actually, they are not homosexuals. They don't really believe in it, but they just say it's a matter of live and let live. So they say, okay, just leave everybody. I mean, so for them, they're just complacent. The reason is because since they were children, those things have been tossed into their faces again and again, and they've been presented as being normal. You understand? They have been presented as being normal, and it's a satanic agenda. And, you know, they kind of were gaining grounds, and God is saying, in effect, in some places, you will not gain that ground as long as they keep preaching the gospel. I'll talk about that briefly, all right, later. But what I'm trying to explain is that, so they kept on doing that. So, you know, I kept thinking again this afternoon that, how did he come to this and all of that? Then I realized, and what I want to talk about briefly is the role of prayer in maintaining righteousness. You'll see it in a moment, all right? How you use prayer to maintain your walk with God. Very soon, I'll start, you know, when I was talking the other day, I said that I felt I did not exhaust the matter of walking in the Spirit so as not to fulfill the desires of the flesh. That there's more to that expression, walk in the Spirit, than I had explained. And so I said I'll come back to it, and I feel strong then that I'm going to come back to it. Maybe that's the next series we're going to do. On Saturday, I'll do some other things for a few weeks, then I'll now get back into it. Now, so that issue of training yourself, that there's a role of prayer in maintaining righteousness. All right, that's what I want to talk about briefly. I may practice a bit of it as we go on. That's our prayer for today. Now, what am I saying? So, I thought about it, and I realized something, and that's the Bible says it clearly. It began from somewhere. It began subtly. It's not possible for you to have just started one day. Somebody just come, grab my professor today, we are doing evangelism concerning homosexuality. No. Want to preach and convert everybody to it? No, that didn't happen. Something happened slowly, and this is the beginning of it. That's what I want to read from the book of Romans chapter 1. And my message from it actually is so that we will ensure that our lives don't go in that direction. You must understand something. When you see things as overt as that, all right, in a lot of our lives, we have things that are not as bad and not as overt, but they are wrong for us, they are evil for us also. And we tend to slip towards them if we are not careful. That's why Paul said that we must take heed, lest the things that we have learned slip away from us. Now, so that's why I want us to read this, the book of Romans chapter 1. Now, everything I've said is that I use homosexuality as an issue. And I say, how did it come to that level? And there's a place where it began. And in my teaching on the role of prayer in maintaining righteousness, we will examine how it began so that we don't let such things begin in our lives. All right? Let's start from verse, Romans chapter 1. I'm going to look for where to start. I know where I'm going. All right, let's start from verse 18. Of course, if you read verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel and all of that. It's power of God unto righteousness. So herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Verse 18 now says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now notice this. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. How did it come about? Because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they actually became fools. Now, notice that. The people are thinking they are wise. Meanwhile, in reality, they are fools. And exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image of, in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Now, for those who think homosexuality is new, like Piers Morgan and co. try to bring it out on TV, they don't bother to read the scriptures. People have contended with these things for a very long time. All right? It said that, so that's what just described, verse 26 and verse 27, describing homosexuality. It said, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Verse 28 says, and just as they did not see it fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Now, let's just stop there, all right? That's what I wanted us to read. That's Romans chapter 1. That was from verse 18 and to the end of the chapter in verse 32. Now, this, you know, I was reading a joke for you earlier, just to instruct us in the ways of God. It's another one I want to read, which we actually also, you know, people send things up and down. Let me just read this one for you. You're going to laugh. Now, I'm reading this one because of what the Bible calls, we read from here, foolishness in men who profess to be wise. I found this one somewhere. It said, what is atheism? Atheism is the belief that there was nothing, and nothing happened to nothing, and then nothing magically exploded for no reason, creating everything, and then a bunch of everything magically rearranged itself for no reason whatsoever into self-replicating bits which turned into a dinosaur. It said, makes perfect sense. That's how the person who wrote that ended it. For those who didn't get it, let me go by it again. He said, what is atheism? He said, you don't believe in God. He said, this is the meaning of it. You believe nothing happened to nothing long ago, and then because nothing happened to nothing, nothing suddenly magically exploded into everything. And everything began to rearrange itself for no reason whatsoever until they became self-replicating bits that eventually became a dinosaur. He said, yeah, very sensible. And this is the funny part of it. You know, I mean, cover my profession, all right? I read a lot of science. I teach a lot of science. Anytime you read it, and this is exactly what is taught. It sounds funny, right? The way it's written. But this is exactly what is taught. that things just rearranged itself. The point is that how did men get to that level? That's what I'm talking about. How did they get to a level? Now, there's something you find here. Let me quickly point this one out. It's easy to look at, these are unbelievers, these are unbelievers. But you notice something in verse 31 or verse 32. He said, although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. That is, Paul was speaking specifically to a nation of people that used to understand the ways of God. Are you getting my point? Yeah, why I pointed that one out is for us to understand that as believers, it is the direction you are moving in that matters. It's not exactly what you are doing right now. Did you hear what I said? As human beings generally, not just believers, but specifically for us as Christians, it's not just what you are doing right now, it's the direction you are moving in. I like one thing one man said, I don't like it, but it's the truth, all right? There's something one man said, I'll be time. Let me say the way he explained it. He said that a Christian can do anything, that he can kill somebody. That's what the man was saying. He was trying to bring out an issue. Why people should keep themselves pure. That's what I was trying to explain. That a Christian can do anything. I don't say because he's a believer, I can never do that. He said, no, don't say that. That a Christian can do anything. So he was trying to warn people that please make sure you keep yourself pure. Now, let me put many things together. What he was saying, in effect, is this. If you start out slowly in a particular direction, you will have reached one particular end before you realize what is going on. I don't know whether they were true Christians or not, but we've seen governors in Nigeria who were praying in tongues, you understand my point? Vibrant evangelists until they made them governors. And then they began to supervise the murder of other people. And one of them was reported to be that to have said, when they confronted him, he said, look, if you don't sin, God will have nothing to forgive. But that was the solution, that was the summary of it for him. I know what I'm doing is bad. That's why he's a merciful God. If we don't sin now, what will he be seen to forgive? It's another one of those governors. As a sitting governor, I told you the story before. The church gathered, the church from where he came out, they gathered in the prayer, like Paul would say, they excommunicated him. So this one is no longer one of us. And I know, you know, there are churches you respect for that. And they did that because he sinned. He was a sitting governor. Most people would say, no, you know, you have to respect the office. Now, like, they didn't care. In fact, they said one day he came to church. I told some of us the story before. The pastor of the church, and not the Pentecostal church. Of course, very few Pentecostal churches will even like that. They don't want to try it. So what you and I would call like a regular old-time church. All right, not the real Orthodox ones, but some of the things, some in between. One day the governor came to church with all his men. The pastor said, he's coming. I don't catch him today. At least by the time he finished with the man got up and walked out of the service. And he was like, good, go. We don't want you. We don't want your money. We don't want your influence. We knew God before you were born. We knew God before you joined politics. God is still God. He's the king of all the earth. You're just the governor of a small state that he created. So that day, some elders got to say, Pastor, why did you do that? He said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I was not hard enough. Now, that's not the main message, all right? The message is that he was also a believer. That's the message. All right? And it's so important. The Holy Spirit has been leading me over the last many months to talk on this matter of prayer, on what it is really about. Jesus taught disciples to pray like this. He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. All right? When he said deliver us from evil, he wasn't saying deliver us from experiencing evil. What he said exactly was, deliver us from doing evil. Lead us not into temptation, but you see, the word connects the two things. But deliver us from the doing of evil. Let us not be tempted to do evil. And that was an answer, all right, to the request, teach us how to pray. Did you notice it? They asked him, teach us how to pray. And he answered, amongst the prayers you will say is you will say to the Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from doing evil. We don't want to be sinners. What was he saying in effect? One way by which you keep yourself above the temptations of the world is by constantly saying certain kinds of prayers. One of the things you don't wake up every day doing is pointing, accusing fingers. You know, I said something last time. Stop criticizing those you don't know anything about. Oh my, these are our governors. They are just there. Every day you're an accuser of the brethren. That does not keep you away from sin. It does not make you righteous. What the Bible says you should do at such times is that if you see any man overtaking an offense, you that think you are spiritual. He says, it's time to be careful. That if once any man can be overtaken in an offense, then you that think you are spiritual, be careful. Watch your steps. Pray so that you yourself will not be tempted. That is, that fellow fell for a temptation. That's what Paul was saying. Are you getting my point? Now, let me focus on why I read this one. The first practice I want to just teach us about this, all right, is this. You see there, verse 28. This was a problem they had. He said, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over into a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with unrighteousness. That is, this was where they began from. They stopped acknowledging God. Therefore, things that were not proper, depravity of mind, was what God gave them over to. If you read verse 26, the Bible says that for this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. Men don't become that perverted unless God gives them over. That is, the restraining power, all right, that prevents anybody from going in that direction is with God. That's what he was saying. That is, for them to go that way, you see a nation suddenly sit down and start saying that, why can't you be gay? You can be this. If you like, Adam can marry Steve. It does not matter. And they adopt the children of Adam and Eve. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. It's very stupid. But I was watching Piers Morgan interview Purpose Driven Life. Rick Warren, yes. I was watching, and he was asking Rick Warren about how he met his wife. Now, you were, initially I was like, what's the issue? Maybe just part of the interview. Okay, you met your wife, this. Do you know actually where he was going? He wanted Rick Warren to say he fell in love. Are you getting my point? That is, and he said so. That is, okay, there was a feeling. Yeah. You saw a woman. Yeah. You reacted. Yeah. It was not within your powers. No. Something inside you moved. Yes. So what if one man has seen a man and reacted the same way? That was his question. If all these your reactions towards this lady you ended up marrying, somebody else felt it without any effort on his part towards somebody who happens to be male, why are you criticizing him? Oh, I love Rick Warren's response that day. I was very glad. You guys, listen, everything has rules. That there's no, I can't remember the very words he used to explain it now. And no matter how I felt, if it's my daughter, forget it, it won't work. Simple. that was the kind of answer he gave me. Listen, that life must have rules. We don't just walk by how I felt. That how I felt, I acted upon it because it fell within the rules. That we have to set the rules first. And then we can have any feeling we like. No matter how you feel, you come downstairs, you feel, as you just feel. You see somebody else's car, start to drive with commode. By the time you park, you are in number one, Upper Avenue. That's Enugu prisons, for those who don't know. All your feeling of, I like this car, must produce money. Then you go to where they sell it, they not decide the one you really like. And so the point I'm just making is that. So that the requirement, just tell the guy, listen. My feelings had to fall within rules. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. But what struck me from that was the first time, really. Now, the guy is not homosexual. I don't think he's gay and all of that. There's a way he spoke. I realized something. That he was persuaded concerning what he was saying. In fact, he was bragging about it. I'm a Catholic. I said, my friend, get away. Your great-grandfather was a Catholic. You are not a Catholic. He was saying, I'm a Catholic. You know, I'm just all this abomination that is annoying when some people call homosexuality abominations and all those strong words. That was the day it actually struck me that this fellow has been persuaded. And many people like that are that persuaded. That it is normal. It is natural. That is, God has removed his restraining power to reason properly from them. They don't have it anymore. It's not like they are not there. It's not a fight. They're not trying. They're not trying to disobey. They just can't think differently. But where did they begin from? That's what I'm saying. I just wanted to talk about the fact that God gave people over. All right? He said God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity. He said God gave them over. That's verse 24. 26 says to degrading passions. The summary of it is verse 28. That's where I'm going. Because they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer. My message today is about that acknowledging God. That's my message today, actually. It's about acknowledging God. Because, you know, we're talking about prayer. Let me go back again. There's something I emphasize all the time, that prayer is not a session. You know, I say it all the time. That it's not that you came here, then we took an hour and we prayed. That's not all. In fact, that's the tip of the iceberg when it comes to prayer matters. The fact is that prayer is, in fact, he said, pray without ceasing. That was what Paul said to the Thessalonians. He said, pray without ceasing. That is, prayer must never have an end. That is, when you wake up in the morning, you are praying. When you are going to sleep, you are praying. And every time in between, you are praying. And so there are times in which the thing rises, you know, it crescendos, like we gather together. We did for the first 20 minutes when we came today, all right? And that happens. But that's not really what prayer is. That's just one part of it. That's the time in which the thing spikes. Actually, prayer starts before, as you are waking up, all right, and it continues until you fall asleep. Now, the point I'm emphasizing here is this issue of acknowledging God. Now, you notice something when you read the Bible, the Old Testament. You see that the Hebrews, from the time of before Abraham and all of that, there was something that you will find, or there is something you will find if you study in their language. They ascribed everything to God. When they wanted to give a commandment concerning how you treat somebody who killed somebody accidentally, maybe a man, his brake failed, and then he couldn't control the car, he knocked a pedestrian down, and he died. The Jew will say that God gave him over into his hands. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. That is, they look at that event as having the hand of God in it. If a man planted and he harvested plenty, they will tell you that God gave him abundance of harvest. If he did not, they will tell you that God broke the staff of bread. Everything that happened, they've infused it with the knowledge of God. Now, modern foolish people who think they are wise, they think those people are primitive. No, they're not primitive. They had understanding. They had understanding. You know, I was thinking about it while listening to the Bible, all right, on CD, okay, Genesis. The more I reason about it, the more I'm more convinced that the early days of this earth was not without population. Adam and Eve may have been the only human beings, but there were other people that used to come around. I've reasoned about it, and I'm very persuaded about it, all right? And they were angelic beings. They used to come around, all right? And the Bible says that, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not. You know, we look at it as if like he was a righteous man and a holy man used to pray. No. He used to take strolls with God. The Lord used to come and Enoch would literally go with him to places. While other people were gathering and doing other things, in the time of Enoch, there was a way he knew the Lord was around. He would know it. I mean, and you see, it's not so far-fetched. Read Moses. Moses was like that. It happened to Moses. The whole of Israel used to know when God would come around and he'd be communing with only Moses. Moses was the only person that God used to relate with like that. And that was how Enoch, all right, was walking with God at that time. I'm bringing up something here. I believe it was those times that they understood all these things. That's how they understood this, and it was passed down through the generations. They understood that, look, listen, all these things, you know, this afternoon, the portion of it that I was playing while I was driving was when Laban was going to meet Jacob after Jacob ran away. And on the night before he met Jacob, the Lord appeared to him and warned him, make sure that you don't say anything good or bad. That was what calmed the guy down, all right? And I noticed that later on when Jacob was supposed to go and sacrifice, back to Bethel, all right, that God put the dread of him over every settlement around, that nobody attacked him. That is, I'm bringing an issue here. Those spiritual things were real to those people. I thought about it. In fact, let me not even flog the issue. That's just what happened. Those things were real to those people. When the Bible says Enoch walked with God, he literally walked with God. He wasn't a praying man. I don't know whether I get my point. Like, where is he has gone to worship? I just want to be where you are. It is good. I'm not saying it's bad, but Enoch didn't sing like that. Enoch used to say, ah, Lord, have you come? Where are we going? Let's go and inspect Jupiter. And they will just get up. If I wanted, they travel. Now they travel. After a while, say, Enoch, we don't work out. I no need for you to go back. And the Bible says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, when the journey too far, said to return you now, it no go good. It won't be good. Now, no, really, see, the more people worship God, all right, the more they get to understand him. That's a matter of fact. And that's what your life will be. The more you we'll get to it talking about walking in the Spirit, all right? The more you interact with God, the more spiritual things become real. The more they become real. Not real as if you are deceiving. That is, at times you will see things literally and tangibly. I found that Jacob, you know, why did he have the idea of cutting spots and stripes on trees? It was because he slept one night and he saw it happening. So he took what he saw. Oh God, may you, this is how you will succeed in life. You will dream one day. Amen. I'm telling you, you will dream one day. Amen. You will have, people will say that, is that not foolish? But you know what you are talking about. You knew what was going to happen before it happened because you walked with God and you saw things in the realm of the Spirit. That's what happened to Jacob. Now, why am I talking about this? So you see, I believe that from that time, the thing was passed down until men began to worship idols and follow their own personal desires. They did not lose sight of the fact that God was in everything. And one of the ways by which you reinforce knowledge, now that's my prayer side now, that's what I'm getting to. One of the ways by which you reinforce knowledge, all right, is to constantly, two things, you constantly practice that thing if it's something you have to do, and number two, you constantly talk about it. You know, I'm teaching a set of students right now, my students in university. They are receiving a subject. So I recruited one of my resident doctors to help me out. And one of the reasons why I did, and I told him as much, you are preparing for postgraduate examination. I said, so like now, before I came today, I went through all the, I gave them a test. So he was supposed to help me correct the test, sit down with them and discuss it. So I first gave him, after while they were doing the test, I gave it to him. You run through it. He ran through it. And then anyone that had a doubt about it, he would point it out to me. So I will explain to him. Somebody like, okay, what do you think of this? I will ask him, what's your logic? Then he will explain it. And then I will correct it or explain some things to him. And now, I'm going somewhere. I said to him, and this is a matter of fact, that the more he teaches those other people, the better he will be. Are you getting my point? In the subject. That is, the more, now he can be reading and reading and reading. But for taking 2 hours out this afternoon, sitting down with 5 younger people and explaining the subject to them, he becomes better. Are you getting my point? Especially because he's engaging his mouth. One of the ways you reinforce truth in your life is by constantly uttering it. That's why he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate. The word meditate means to mutter. You shall mutter therein day and night. Not think about, but mutter, utter, talk about it day and night. Now, what am I talking about here? He said, did not see fit to acknowledge God. This is a part of prayer I'm bringing out. That a lifestyle of prayer, and I emphasize that prayer is every time, not just once. A lifestyle of prayer is to always acknowledge God. It reinforces your righteousness, trust me. It does. It helps you really become aware of spiritual things so that you cannot deviate from doing that which is right. Are you getting my point? That's how prayer helps. Listen, this prayer thing here is not... When you wake up at night, I said, tonight we are going to pray against all the enemies, those who say I will not succeed. Listen, hear ye the word of the Lord. You are confused. You need deliverance from ignorance. You have more problems than your enemies. That's not a joke. Any Christian who wakes up at night and takes a whole night prayer session against his enemies, against her enemies, that's a confused person that needs deliverance from ignorance, who currently has more problems than all those imaginary enemies. Prayer works more on you. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. If you want to wake up at night, I want you to wake up and say, tonight, I want to give God thanks. Everybody has gone to sleep. Nobody's going to call me this time. I don't have to leave my phone on. If you do more of that than the other one, then you know you are not confused. If you do more of that than facing other people with your prayers, then you know you are already saved. That is, your problems have come to an end. Why am I saying this? I'm not emphasizing the role of acknowledging God in everything. It's a constant habit that we must form. Don't ever ascribe things to the devil. Focus more on ascribing the issues of your life to God. Start with the good things. A lot of Word of Faith Pentecostals won't like this. I also say, and the bad things. Yes, I say that, and I say boldly. Let's start with the good things. Or let me just say, with everything, let's simply put like that. You know, those things we talk about all the time. You are not healthy because you jog. Don't ever brag on it. My friends, you know, they talk about hallelujah diet. Have you heard of hallelujah diet? Should I tell you my verdict? I don't want to hear this. Evangel, you've come again. Yes. It's confusion. It's true. We are pursuing health to a particular extreme that me, I don't understand. I wake up in the morning, I blend cucumbers and tomato. What the Bible calls bread of affliction. You don't know it is good for you to delight in what you are eating. Why should your food become medicine? Oh, nonsense. Unconscious, I'm not going to buy. You want me to eat fresh food? Better make sure it is well blended, you know what I mean? Like, yes, good. I'm going to eat salad, put it on top of rice. You know, it's important. Bible says it's important for a man to rejoice in that labor and the food that he's eating. They can't say, husband, it's meal time. You tell your son, hey, what the mommy put there? He said, daddy, I can see cucumber from here. It's okay. Tell your mother I'm in a hurry. When you reach office, you call your secretary. I beg, let me buy opa. And I always tell you, you can eat anything. I mean, you can do your diet. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. But don't ever forget. That is, from morning till night, acknowledge that health is of God. That's what I'm trying to explain. Very important. You see, let me say something to you. As you acknowledge God, wisdom comes into your soul. I'm telling you, acknowledging God changes. If that hallelujah diet is crucial for your life and existence, God will turn it that it will be sweet in your mouth. It will be tasty. It will not become a matter of affliction of the soul. Listen, that issue of acknowledging God is crucial. You know, take a country like ours, like we're talking about the beginning, at the beginning, people trying to express strife, north, south. Listen to me. There is no region of Nigeria that has ever dominated anywhere and it was not commanded by God. There is nobody's problem in this life, in that area, that was not generated by the people therein. You know, I'm a black man. I like it. It helps me talk to black people. White man had his problem. He was an oppressor. Okay? But listen, if you had reversed the roles, you would have known who was the real oppressor. Take my word for it. I believe, I am persuaded, the black man was generally more wicked than the white. It was one reason why God subdued him. If he had turned the tables, listen, white man come colonize Africa. By the time he left, you had roads. You had schools. You can abuse him all you want. Every country he colonized developed. If to say we mistakenly colonized Europe, Listen, if spiritually you develop to a level, freedom will come to you automatically. Freedom will come to you automatically. If spiritually in your soul you are liberated, what am I saying? Acknowledge God in everything. You cannot, in a country like ours, by the time God says, okay, this time has ended. Nadeko did not end military rule. I hope you understand that. Those who did more than Nadeko, go and meet them in Argentina. They put all of them in prison and killed all of them. Did Nadeko kill Abacha? They couldn't kill him. But without Abacha's death, all this Nadeko, listen, if you come to the country, they will bomb you. They catch you, they shoot. What's the name of that guy who used to shoot people? No, his boy. Sergeant Rogers. He will shoot you. The guy didn't care that you were female. You know what I'm talking about? Short men, short women. One day, Emeka Anyaoku came to Nigeria. He finished reading speech in Abuja. On his way, they called him. His phone rang. He said, sir, we know you're an important person. And we can't do anything to you. But want you to know accidents still happen. Now bros disappeared. He didn't come back again. He didn't read his story. I don't know where they published his story. He went to Abuja. He was reading speech about dictatorship and imprisonment of journalists. He talked, finished. I'm actually the lookout. It's okay. So he come up for there. He said, let him go and visit somebody. Now your phone ring for road. Hello? Is that Chief Anyoko? He said, yes. We know you're an important man, so we can't do anything to you. We can't arrest you. We can't imprison you. We just want you to know that accidents still happen. Disappeared from Nigeria, did not come back. What I'm trying to say is that it is God that changes seasons. That's what I'm trying to explain. It's one that changes rulers. It's important. It is important we understand that no matter who it is that is engineering to take over one thing or the other in 2015, if God says no, no is no. In fact, you know, the new, my hospital has a new board. They started work yesterday. Today is Tuesday. They started work yesterday. So on Saturday, I got a text from my hospital PRO inviting me for a dinner in honor of the new board members and the board chairman and his team. So when we got there, my CMD was speaking. And he said that people said that, hey, what are you doing about who be your board member? I told them that he's not doing anything. He's a Christian. He's not doing anything. He has prayed about it. They have prayed about it, and he's going to leave the thing like that. And finally, they appointed somebody that they all love and respect. You understand? An elderly physician in Enugu here. And then another man on the team, a professor from UNN, who's representing the Senate, he was now speaking. He said a man in his department, listen to this, a professor in his department was approached. Why don't you help us? There's something they're trying to get done. You know the way, let me not give you details. But there's something they're trying to get done with the Ministry of Agriculture and Ministry of Education. They now asked him to be on the team or the board to get that thing done. So the man said, no, he doesn't have time for that. He's eyeing the board of UNTH. So he said, no problem. That is sending him. He said that. So he talked to the guy, and he said that, okay, you're eyeing this. So we'll nominate you now, because the Senate, on the floor of Senate, they will vote for who will represent the Senate on the board of UNTH. The man said that's what he's interested in. This man will tell us the story. So he agreed that, okay, let's go ahead and nominate you. Let's hope everybody will vote for you. So while they call for a nomination, he approached the vice chancellor and said, sir, this is our man. He said he would like to represent us, you know, that kind of thing. And the VC said, oh, no problem. Then they call for nominations. He said, suddenly he heard his own name. That is the man telling them, please, that man is good. Let's let him go now. He heard his own name. So he went to the VC and said, excuse me, sir. VC, sit down. I don't know whether I get the point. He protested like, excuse me, sir. Sit down. My friend, sit down there. So he sat down. To his shock, they voted and voted him in. That is, he did not think about it. He didn't pray. He didn't wish it. He didn't want it. He wasn't even thinking. The next thing he needed, he showed up in Enugu to start work as a board member of UNTH. He went there to, you know, campaign for somebody else. And while he was watching, they voted for him. Now, why am I talking about that? We understand these things. People, no matter what you want to say, you don't need the spirit again to tell you that our current president was appointed by God. You may not like him. I'm not even saying whether he's good or bad. I'm talking about his appointment. I'm talking about his appointment. Just look at the story. People say, oh, Pastor Joel is very cunning. No human being is that cunning. No human being could strategize like that. None. How do you decide when somebody will die when you didn't shoot him? And now you should be one after he wouldn't die too. Now, I'm talking about acknowledging God. Let me sit on my message because it's a matter of prayer. I'm teaching us the issue of prayer all the time. All the time prayer, this is one habit of it, is to acknowledge God in everything. Like I say, they deny you or something. Don't say, these people are very wicked. They are very, very wicked. Don't mind their wickedness. Yes, they are wicked. Maybe they are wicked. But their wickedness is not your problem. All your experiences are between you and your God. So for their wickedness to have an effect on your life, are you getting my point? I told you a story once. I went after my youth service. I was in Lagos. I wanted a job. I applied in a particular hospital somewhere in Ilukweju there. And the MD, in fact, his secretary said to me that after the man finished interviewing me and he saw what they wrote on my paper, everybody that came after, he told them that his post was filled. I still remember when the man finished interviewing, he asked me a particular question, interesting question. I won't go over it now. The answer I wanted to give, I knew it was not popular. Listen, don't be afraid to do what is right. Just by the way. I'll tell you my reason, all right? I knew the popular answer. But I said that answer is not right. The right answer is not a popular one. So I coded it in a manner to show that I'm not an ignorant person. It's just that I know the right thing. I don't know whether I get my point. I said, sir, the school I went to, that is not my fault, it's the school. I said, our lecturer, I mentioned the name of the lecturer, taught us, I still remember the lecture, that if you want to make this diagnosis, this is a popular way, it's not the right way. That the right way is this, 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 and that. He said, good, you must have gone to a good school. You see what I mean by, if you know something is right, forget what is popular, just do that which is right. I knew, the man wanted to know whether somebody or any of these young boys knew what was right. And I thought that he probably is of the old school and he does not know what is right. I just stuck with what is right. Now, this is the gist about it. The gist is that after that day, he was so thrilled by my presence. He wrote, I thought I started work. I was supposed to start working on a Friday, maybe Friday like a first. So on Thursday, I went to go and visit them and say, what's going on here? Let's make a long story short. They said, sorry, there's no work here again. I was confused. I kept on, what is going on? I was supposed to resume work on Friday. I just came to greet you people on Thursday. Only to be told that no work. I talked to the admin manager. He was talking like this, that he was not coming for straight. Finally, I called the MD direct. I called the hospital and please connect me with the MD. They connected me to him and then I asked him, sir, please, I don't want to tell him, an old man, that, oh, sir, you're a man. You know, you can't say that kind of thing unless you don't have manners. I just said, please, sir, just give it to me straight. I want to know what is going on. He said, oh, we are sorry right now. Let's make a long story short. I remember that day. I think I went to the place. Before I called the man, as I was leaving, I remember very well. I looked up to heaven. I said, God, I see you taking this job away from me. Some people will be rebuking devil, rebuking evil spirit, witches that said I won't prosper. All the witches that said I won't prosper, they died long ago. The ones that are not dead are the ones that can't say it. They were wise enough to shut their mouth. And it doesn't worry me. Are you getting my point? I'm talking about acknowledging God. I wasn't happy. I'd given my friends the address of the place. On Saturday, they came to look for me there. Yes. They came to check on me on Saturday that there's one new doctor here. I'm not joking. It was my flatmate during youth service, a pharmacist, Lawa. He went to look for me there, three of them. He took two other guys. He said, Banky now works in this place. Let me check on him. That's how sure I was. But by the time I was leaving that place that Friday, that Thursday, I said, God, you are the one that took this thing away from me. In fact, I remember the very prayer I prayed. I said, Lord, you see that manager? I want to hate him. That is their admin manager. I said, I want to hate him. I want to see him on the road and knock him down. Now, that was the prayer I prayed. I said, but God, I can't do that. Because I recognize that you, with your own hands, stretch forth that hand, you took this job away from me. So I don't know the man, I don't care about him. My life is in your hands. Talking about acknowledging God, if you see food to eat, don't just rush it down. You must give God thanks. If they put gari and groundnut, which is a rich man's food, in case you did not know it, yes, and you mix it together with sugar, then you know, this is the evil way to eat. My mates are eating with, they are dining right now. The other day I saw them eating in Sheraton, 7,000 a plate. Look at what a man my level is eating. Tomorrow, the groundnut will be withdrawn. You talk again, no sugar. More nonsense, you go chew that garri dry, no water. If you don't learn your lesson on time, even the garri, boom. I told you before, go and read the story of Jonah. Jonah was saved in phases. The first prayer he prayed was as they threw him inside the water. And it was going down. And the weeds, you know, the coral reef, everything at the bottom of the sea was wrapping around his neck. In his heart, he began to cry out to God. And God heard it and sent a fish, and the fish swallowed him. That was stage one deliverance. And when fish swallow you, it plans to digest you. Even if sent by God, the guy is going to digest you. What ensured that the guy was not digested was that there he began to give thanks. I may not be where I want to be, but at least I'm not at the bottom of the ocean. This place may be dark and smelly, but at least there's air to breathe one way or the other. The fish was passing some down through the gills into the compartment where it kept Jonah. And Jonah was getting ready for digestion. I'm telling you, the fish didn't understand that. And God said, look, listen, there's food. I swallowed it. Now, digestion is the next thing. It is your problem to ensure you are not digested. And the way by which Jonah was not digested was that he began to give thanks. He was not complaining that my mates are on the road now, walking. My mates are there, driving good cars, in their own boats, in their own ships, no hurricane, pushing them inside. Can you imagine? And I say I'm a prophet of God. After I pray to this God, look at all he could do. Put me inside one cave inside here. And the cave is not even steady. Now, so the thing they shake since morning. You talk like that, next thing, you go see your skin begin peel. Now, digestion, it has commenced. But he didn't do that. He began to thank God. I may not be where I want to be, but at least I'm not where I used to be. And for that reason, the fish had to finally vomit the guy onto dry land. I talked about that, talking about showing gratitude for food. Food is not free. Listen, God has to send every one of it. Don't think that because you are used to buying Indomie and just cooking it and it's in 2 minutes, it is ready. Listen, it has to be specially delivered. An angel measures your Indomie. What I'm telling you is not a joke. For you to just enter a shop right and buy bread is a lie. Your bread was baked and kept. That's why sometimes you went, there was no bread. Because there's no bread for you that day. Somebody has bought bread. But your own was not baked. So I'm not saying, don't, it's not a joke. Anytime you see food, don't just say, bless the Lord for Christ's sake. Amen. Nothing like bless the Lord for Christ's sake. That's primary, but in the house of those, that's how I used to pray for food. Just a joke, I remember those days. I was senior food prefect. I don't know how many of you were in boarding house. I was. We used to have a food prefect. I remember a food prefect when I was in Form 1. What they call GSS 1. You know, I went to secondary school in 1979. So, if you're not born here, say amen. I went to secondary school in 79, all right? So, I remember that our food prefect was one tall, lanky guy like this. And he wants to pray for the food. You know, it was a big hall. Bless the Lord! That's the prayer. From one end of the hall, you dare not eat until they have prayed. Everybody's ready. Bless the Lord! That's it. Oh, that's bless this food, O Lord, for Christ's sake. That was a prayer. From the one end of the hall, you shout, bless the Lord! That's it. Man, go begin work. Listen, food Thanksgiving is not like that, though. It's not bless the Lord. It is. It is, Lord, if it were not for you, I wouldn't be eating. If it were not for you, I wouldn't be drinking. Thank you for food. Thank you for water. Thank you for peace of mind to eat the food. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. That is acknowledging. That's the point I'm making. Listen, that's a fundamental thing that everybody must learn. If you don't, you'll start drifting towards iniquity. That's it. If you don't realize that your life is not your own, somebody's orchestrating it. It's as you walk with God, as you pray towards Him, as you receive things from Him by faith. That is what manifests physically. If you don't walk like that, before you know what's happening, you start engineering your event, the events of your life. Before you realize what's happening, you are beginning to pierce yourself through with many sorrows. What's my message for today? We must learn, that's a habit of continual prayer. Continual acknowledging. It's not only when we are praying. You are in the office, they are discussing. They say, they are sacking people. Then they ended up sacking you. God will punish them. God in heaven, He is watching after everything I did for them. No. Are they wicked? That's their problem. Are they kind? None of your business. Lord, I thank you because one season is over and another season has begun. My life is in your hands. That this is, can you see, you acknowledge. That's what I'm going to emphasize. Is that acknowledgement. It's not just the Thanksgiving side. Thanksgiving is part of it, but it's the fact that you recognize. Is that recognition I'm talking about? That, listen, this boss does not own this company. He can't fire me. He doesn't own the place. So if I've been fired, it is God in heaven that said, this season is over. You know one thing I noticed? I'm closing now, don't worry. We're leaving now, all right? But I just want to drop this. I noticed that Laban began to maltreat Joseph and Jacob. All that conflict started. The sons of Laban were complaining. Look at Jacob. He has become rich on our father's property. And then the eye of Laban, when he looks at, when Jacob is passing like this, I say, go look out. Look, Jacob. Jacob will look in his direction. The man realized that this guy is not happy with me at all. The place was no longer steady. Are you getting my point? And Jacob had done nothing wrong. This is what I'm coming to. I now realize that it was that time Jacob slept and the Lord appeared to him and said, now the time has come for you to go back to your father's house. Are you seeing that? That they couldn't feel bad or treat him harshly until God said, the time has come. Listen, when the brook dried, it was when God now spoke to Elijah to move. That is, I said that before, that the brook didn't dry because God didn't know how to make it wet constantly. The brook dried because that made it easier for God to communicate with Elijah that it's time to leave here and go and preserve somebody else's life. Elijah didn't go there to get food. He went there to preserve that widow's life. Read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I explained it in there. Are you getting my point? So instead of saying, hey, what kind of place is this? How kind of wicked people are handling here? Forget that one. Okay, once, because it's a matter of acknowledging that it's the only God with, I preach a message, the title, The Only God With You. It's God that's in my life. So that's why can't you pray all the time? They are talking in the office. Everybody's grumbling and whining about the conflict. But listen, you just say to them simply, listen, guys, ladies, listen. Where I'm going in life has been decided. What I'm doing in my life is qualifying myself for that place. Because every place where God wants to take you to, He qualifies you for it. Be very careful how you live life. Anything you can't look, face God and say, this is what I'm doing. I know it's right. Don't do it. Because as I'm preaching here, listen, I'm not kidding about this. I'm still a young man, even though I'm older than most people here. All right? But I'm still a young man. What I'm trying to say is that there's still a lot that God has for me in future. To get there, I better be here on Tuesday preaching. Listen, my wife said something. You didn't earlier on, my wife was saying, pray for strength to deliver the word. I was laughing inside. It wasn't anointing. It was, we came from home together. You didn't get that. Pray for Pastor Banky for strength to deliver. He said that in like four times. I was counting. Because as of this morning, I wasn't feeling well. I told her simply, I don't think I want to come to Bible study today. I said, okay, maybe I'll just come and just sit down. Maybe this. And I said, all right. But I have to go to the office. I have something to do in the office. As I was saying all of that, I said, God will be here marking register. Pastor, you have better show. So when I came, my wife was saying, pray for strength to deliver the word of God. I said, amen. I understand. She, you had to pray that prayer, you know. She understood that this morning, my husband was saying that he didn't feel okay. His voice was like this. His nose was feeling this way and all of that. So when she arrived there, I said, please, pray for that guy. Well, I'm going somewhere with that, all right? That as I was just thinking about it, I said, what would I explain to the Lord, though? That I went to the office or this or that. I said, any little strength I have, I beg. It is Tuesday. It's my assignment. Let me come and do it. I'm going somewhere. That is, with what you are doing today, God is using that to prepare you for where you will be tomorrow. Yes, and that's it. So everywhere you are walking, don't ever forget that. Whatever you are doing, God is using it to lift you up to the next level. He's qualifying you for the next place. So how you respond to adversity at work is different. It's different. You say, I won't work here. They don't pay on time. I won't do my work diligently. That's temptation for you. You've just fallen for it. After all, how much are they paying? Now, I beg, let's share this one job. Wait, you know how much I got the job for the top? I beg. That's temptation for you. You are falling for it. As I say, everything you do as unto the Lord. Talking about acknowledging. And that's why you must open your mouth. That's the prayer side of it. You must open your mouth all the time and maintain your testimony in front of everybody. Christians, don't listen in the office when they say that. Come. Let's share this money. Don't say, it's not good. It's not good. It's not good. It's bad. What did I say? If you're saying it's not good, it's bad. This is how to keep yourself from evil. You say, look, we don't do like this. Say, eh? Don't do it. Oh. If you do it, you will go to hellfire. That's a nice way to say it. Say, God is watching also. And every doer of iniquity like this is going to hellfire. When you say it like that, they leave you alone. If I say, it's not good, it's not good. It's not good. It's not good, it's not good. They say, I'm very last. What is not good? They say, look at Oga. How much are we talking about? It's not 15,000. Not 15,000. Last week, Oga traveled. How much he collected? I was there. I saw it. It was 1.5 million. The other day, what is not good? But when you do it like this, all liars and cheats will find their place in the lake that burneth with sulfur and brimstone, whose worm does not diet. They're going to leave you. They will leave you. They won't tempt you again. He said, which time you begin to go to church? My pastor has said it, that evil shall be for the evildoer. That one, they will leave you alone. They won't let you know when they are doing it again. But the point I'm making is this. Is acknowledging. You open your mouth and declare it loud that God is watching me. If I do this, I may just die suddenly. Try it at work. You'll see. You know, sometimes they tell me that I've been tempted. One young woman said that lecturer is pursuing me in school. I said, what did you tell him? Anyway, go and check it. Go and check that one. Most of the girls who complain like that, the problem is the lecturer knows that you're sleeping with the other guy. He no one give me my own portion. That is the truth. If you go and say, sir, don't sweep Babylon, go down and not rise again. Yeah, the man said, don't go near that one. Tell him straight, sir, it's hellfire. Say certificate. I would rather be alive or go to heaven with no certificate than be a first-class candidate in hellfire. You say like that, even if he's an atheist, he will leave you alone. May not believe you, but he knows you are determined. Let me stop there. I hope you've got my point. I hope you've got my point. The message is what? Constant acknowledgement. Not just in your heart, but with your mouth. Get food to it. That's the best place to practice it. You're eating this night, spend one extra minute to thank God that the angels served you the food. I hope you've got my point. Let's bow down our heads and just acknowledge God. Let's rise to our feet. We'll close with that. Just begin to acknowledge him. Say, Lord, I recognize you are the king over my life. That you are the one that holds my life. Just say to him, say, Lord, you are the one that holds my life. He said, my master, I understand that you run every affair of my life. You are the one I commend my conscience to. Thank you for the clothes I have on. Thank you for the job I'm doing right now. Thank you for the one that has been withheld. I recognize you are the one that sells me my food. Your angels, they give me the food. When I don't have it, it's because you didn't supply it. The reasons are diverse, but it is because you did not supply it. I thank you. I recognize you. I acknowledge you as God. Say to the Lord, say, let me, my heart not depart towards iniquity. Say, Lord, I acknowledge you so that my heart will not depart towards iniquity. I do not want to be given over to a depraved mind. I do not want to be given over to a depraved heart. I do not want to be given over to the lust of the flesh. No, I don't want to be given over to the lust of the flesh. But I acknowledge you. I acknowledge you. I acknowledge you. In all that I do, I acknowledge you. In all my decisions, I acknowledge you. In my choices, I acknowledge you. In all my ways, I acknowledge you. And I trust, Lord, that you will make my path straight. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this evening. Thank you once again, because your word is always fresh and is always enlightening our hearts. So let's give in illumination to our souls, and we give you all the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's well with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Over the rest of this week, I prophesy for you that goodness will fill it for you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The peace of God will manifest in all that you do in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I say to you again, when you travel, you will be safe.
Amen.
Even if you go to Maiduguri, you will be safe.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you enter a flying boat, you will be safe.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you enter a vehicle, you did not know the brakes were bad, the driver is inexperienced, but you didn't know. You just entered it with the innocency of your heart. Every other passenger will be delivered because of you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Paul was on that boat, and he said to the people, the boat may be destroyed, but the angel of God has granted me. Paul was, the angel said to God, God has granted everybody that's with you. He said, this is what God said. God, whose I am and whom I serve. He sent his angel and he said, none of you will die. That for the sake of Paul, everybody else was granted life. I declare to you again, for your sake, everybody else will be granted life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I say safety is your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Prosperity is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen to this again. You are not cursed.
Amen.
I said you are not cursed.
Amen.
Every handwriting against you has been wiped away in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus has been shed to wash away all your sins and keep you white in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And that is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No witch can hold you.
Amen.
No evil spirit can afflict you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I declare to you that you are healed.
Amen.
Listen, you are healed.
Amen.
I say you are healed.
Amen.
I don't care when your elder brother died or your uncle died. You will not die.
Amen.
You will live in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will fulfill the assignment of God for your life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will see your children.
Amen.
You will see their children.
Amen.
And the children of those ones also.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Cheer up, brethren.
Amen.